meeting of House Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. It is 8:12 a.m. on Tuesday, May 15th in State Capitol Room 124. Our members present are Representative Westlake, Representative Tallarico, Co-Chair Parrish, and myself, Representative Fansler. We do have a quorum to conduct business. At this time, if you can please take the time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you. And before we begin, I would like to thank Lori Rowland, as always, the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary, and ask Danaya Burns for from the Juno LIO for being here today to provide a transcript and recording of our meeting. And my committee aide, Mary Aparzik-Schlosser, is here to help with any member needs for this committee meeting. We're holding this meeting today on a committee substitute for 156, which is going to be rolled into Senate Bill 100. House Bill 156 is an act relating to a municipal tax exemption or deferral for economic development property. We're holding this meeting because I think it's important to have a public process on any changes that are made and to have them fully vetted in a committee, and that's why we are here today. We're going to be hearing, looks like version 30-LS0602/U. Today, as the draft, as the committee substitute for House Bill 156, Muni Tax Exemptions. Can I please get a motion to take up that version?
I move to bring up House Bill version 30-LS0602/U before the committee for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Co-Chair Parrish. There have been a number of changes that have been made between the original House Bill 156 and this committee substitute. Representative Parrish, can you go on the record and explain these changes, please?
Certainly. You'll find these also on papers in front of you. The CS amends AS29.45.05M by broadening the language of optional municipal property tax exemptions for economic development properties. It allows a municipality to provide property tax incentive for a specified period rather than 5 years at a time, and it broadens the property that could get a tax incentive from having to meet all three factors currently in the statute to any of four significantly broader factors. In municipalities that are school districts, instead of letting an incentive take the property tax rate to zero, it protects their ability to raise school funding by setting a floor at the 2.65 mils spelled out in the education funding formula. It also grandfathers ordinances in effect before January 1st, 2017, which are limited to 5 years under existing law, and it would not let a municipality exempt economic development property from the tax rate applied for a service area controlled by a board who set their own rates.
I'd like to take this time to note that Representative Drummond joined us several minutes ago. Representative Sadler has just joined us, and also Representative Ortiz and Representative Sponholz were both in the audience. So thank you for all of that. Thank you, Co-Chair Parrish. Are there any questions from the committee regarding the changes that have been made to House Bill 156 for the committee substitute? Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This bill has been before the committee for a couple of months here. Today is, I believe, day 118.
Mm-hmm.
That is. Why is this coming up so late?
Would you like me to take that, Mr. Co-Chair?
I would, Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you. As I think most of this members of this body are very familiar, but members of the general public may not be. Often language in bills which seem to be stalled will be amended onto bills which have moved further through the legislative process, and that's just what happened with the language from 156. It has been amended onto Senate Bill 100, which related to the powers of second-class borough. Oh, I'm sorry, municipal ability to set liens. It was also amended onto House Bill 148, which relates to the powers of second-class boroughs to provide emergency services. And so, seeing that the language had been substantially changed by then and had not received a full hearing, we decided that it would be best to revisit the modified language, the language as amended, for the purposes of public discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Sadler.
Had this language ever been considered earlier in the session?
Again.
Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If I direct questions to Representative Parrish instead?
That would, through the chair, probably be an appropriate way to go.
Your question was, had the language as amended been previously heard?
Mm-hmm.
No, not to my knowledge.
Then asking directly of the chairman, Mr. Chairman, had this language previously been considered?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And you guys would know.
Actually, I believe it was taken up in the House Rules Committee.
Further questions or comments from the committee regarding HB 156 as amended with the committee substitute? Okay, seeing none, we are now going to open public testimony on the committee substitute for House Bill 156. Committee or public testimony is open. Looks like we have two folks on the line that want to testify and three folks that are here for questions. I'm going to go to the Ketchikan Gateway Borough with Scott Brand Erickson. Scott, Mr. Brand Erickson, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I am pleased to see that the committee is taking up this bill. The exemption that House Bill 156 deals with is one which we have used in Ketchikan in the past. We don't currently have any projects that are using it, but it is a helpful economic development tool. Other than that, I am available for questions as the committee consideration of the bill moves forward.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brent Erickson.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. And Mr. Brent Erickson, if we can just have you state your name and your affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sorry for omitting that. Scott Brent Erickson, and I'm the borough attorney for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
All right, thank you. And if you can stay online, I understand there may be an amendment offered that you may also be speaking to. And next up, we have Mr. Doug Ward in Ketchikan.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease again. And we're back on the record. Is there any additional public testimony in this room at this time regarding the committee substitute we see before us? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to ask if there are any amendments to this bill to be offered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Westlake.
I move conceptual amendment number one. This amendment was drafted to the original version of House Bill 156, and with that, I'd like my chief of staff, Jesse Logan, up here to explain the amendment.
I'll object.
Thank you very much, Representative Tallarico. There is an objection if Representative Westlake and your chief of staff can place yourself on the record. You can explain our conceptual amendment, which I believe, if you're following along at home, is 30-LS0602/A2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jesse Logan, staff to Dean Westlake. As representative stated, this amendment was originally drafted to the original version of 156, and not having a CS to draft to, we have to offer this as a conceptual amendment. It does not change any existing language in the original bill or in the CS, so the language should remain the same for the amendment. It adds new sections. It does two things. First, at the very end of the amendment, in Section 3, pages 2, line 27 through page 3, line 9, it extends the sunset on mandatory property tax exemptions for certain assets owned by ADA. This extension right, or the exemption right now, is set to expire November of 2017, and the specific language you'll find on page 4 in its sections 4 and 5. And you'll see the bold underlined 2027, and that's the sunset extension. Now, the second thing it does is back in Section 1, it's page 1, line 12 through page 3, line 21, but you'll find the specific language on page 1, line 20, 21, 22, and 23. And this language makes it explicit that the tax exemption is extendable to interests created by operating agreements or non-exclusive use agreements between ADA and a shipyard or integrated transportation and port facility that's owned by ADA. This is specifically for the Ketchikan Shipyard. You'll find, hopefully you all have a document, there is a resolution from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough specifically requesting this. There's been some confusion in the past as whether or not that shipyard was eligible for these tax exemptions, and this amendment makes it clear. So in summary, this amendment does two things, which is includes the shipyards in Ketchikan and extends the property tax exemption out another 10 years. Online, and my apologies for the confusion earlier, online we should have Doug Ward, the business development from Vigor Shipyard, Scott Brand Erickson, who you heard from earlier, who's the Ketchikan Gateway Borough attorney, John Springsteen, executive director of ADA, and Mike Katze, also with ADA, for any questions.
All right, thank you. And brief at ease. And to be very clear, as HV 156, the committee substitute that we are seeing before us is currently being rolled into Senate Bill 100, I want to be very clear that any amendments or changes we make here will also need to be presented as amendments on the floor during our upcoming floor session at 10 a.m. So this is our opportunity to publicly vet them. This is our opportunity to speak to them and publicly vet this bill. But they will need to be offered on the floor as well, so that everyone is understanding.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Sadler.
I've just been handed a resolution number 2692 from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. I would request a at ease so I can read this.
Absolutely. We will take a somewhat brief at ease for Representative Sadler. We are back on the record at 8:36 a.m. Mr. Logan is still here to answer any questions. And are there any questions regarding the amendment that has been proffered? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, in order to understand the amendment better, I need to understand the content and import of Ketchikan Gateway Borough Resolution 2692. So if this gentleman here at the witness table can answer some questions, I'd sure appreciate the opportunity to offer them.
Mr. Logan.
My first question, Mr. Logan, through the chair, would be on page 1, paragraph E, there is reference to the reversionary private leasehold interest in the Ketchikan Shipyard. Can you please explain to me what that is and how much it is, and just help me understand it?
Thank you for the question, Representative, through the chair. As that particular language is not offered in the amendment, I would like to defer to the borough gateway, or the gateway borough's attorney for that.
Okay.
And we do still have public testimony open. So, Mr. Brant Erickson, were you able to hear the question, and can you answer the question from Representative Sadler?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The with the ADA-owned property, ADA's ownership interest in property, various properties around the state, is tax-exempt. But as with other state tax-exempt property, where there is someone either leasing or operating the property, there's a possessory interest, and that possessory interest can be valued and have a tax levied based upon that value. So the private possessory interest in the shipyard or in the DeLong Mountain facility is the interest that would either be taxable or exempt.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Through the chair, Mr. Brent Erickson. So I'm not familiar with the term of possessory interest. Let me see if I understand it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. ADA may provide financing for a shipyard or a road system, but the actual person who receives the loan, I guess the lessee, lessor, will bring its own money to and make its own investments. So the property that is obtained through the ADA financing is tax-exempt, but you're saying that property that the loan recipient brings to it should be taxable. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the arrangements aren't always situations where the private entity is bringing a certain quantity of funds and ADA is providing the financing. Of the seven or so ADA projects around the state, there are a couple that are direct leases. For example, the FedEx aircraft maintenance hangar in Anchorage, that's a straight lease, and the ADA provided financing, but the tenant, the lessee, has a possessory interest in the lease, and they're operating in their own business interests. They may bring certain equipment there, and ADA provided certain financing for construction of the hangar. But it's more of a landlord-tenant type relationship. The situation with the DeLong Mountain facility, the situation with the shipyard, the operator, these aren't leases, they're operating agreements, and the operator didn't finance the construction of the facility. The money for construction of the facility was largely ADA or federal government money or state money, but not private money. That said, if there is private property, and for example, in the case of the shipyard here in Ketchikan, there's about $1 million or so worth of equipment that the private operator has brought on site, and that property is taxed, and that privately owned property would not be changed by the amendment language.
Follow up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Svenders. Brand Erickson. So just again, in broad terms, property obtained through ADA is tax-exempt. Property or interest that the private leaseholder lessee brings to it is not exempt, that is taxable. Is that generally correct?
To the chair, Representative Sadler, generally, yes. If the private party is the owner of the property or the asset, then that's going to be taxable regardless of the proposed language. The amendment deals with where ADA is the owner of the property, and the operator has no ownership interest. They just have the rights to operate it for a defined period of time.
Okay. So through the chair.
Yeah, follow-up, Representative Sadler.
The question I will attempt to get answered clearly is whether the amendment will exempt the property that ADA owns or not, and we'll get to that. So possessory interest is just what you own, right?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the ADA Ada owns it. The best example I could give is maybe if you think of it in terms of renting a car. If I rent a car from Avis, Avis owns the car, and I'm renting it. If I go to Seattle and do that, maybe Seattle's not taxing Avis for the car, but my rental of the car for the weekend, I'm going to pay taxes based on that rental. I'm paying taxes based upon my limited time possessory interest of the vehicle. In this analogy, Avis would be ADA. Its interest is tax exempt, and it's always tax exempt. But my time that I get to use ADA's property would be a taxable possessory interest. It's not really ownership because I don't own it outright. I just have a right to use it for a limited time period.
Through the chair, follow up, Representative.
That's
interesting. I learn something new in this job every day. So it's possible to tax the possessory interest, even though the person being taxed doesn't actually own it. So in other words, if ADA provides property, ADA still may own the property, but while the lessee uses the property, that property is taxable. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, yes. And then there are factors to determine what the value of that taxable possessory interest is, and that's going to vary by the sorts of rights that the person has, the duration, whatever limitations there may be on the use of that property.
Through the chair again. Thank you. This is
follow-up, Representative Sadler.
I hope this is helpful to elucidate the import of the amendment and so forth. So, again, so it sounds like if ADA has provided financing to allow the operator that is bigger to use property under the bill CS, I believe, before us now, under the language, that property would be taxable. I'm sorry, would not be taxable. And heretofore, the Ketchikan Borough has assumed that that property was taxable. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, actually, that's not correct.
Okay.
The shipyard property here in Ketchikan has been operating well, in one form or another since the 80s, but the current operation under ADA ownership has been since approximately 1997, and from 1997 until 2011, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough treated the property as 100% exempt. That the possessory interest of Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, the predecessor to Vigor, was exempt from taxation. In 2011, we had a different assessor who determined that even though the property qualified for the same mandatory exemption as the DeLong Mountain facility, it should be treated as an optional exemption. There's a separate statute that allows communities to optionally exempt the private leasehold or possessory interest in ADA property. We ended up having litigation with the state over the issue of whether it was a mandatory or optional exemption. And that case was resolved with the valuation of the property being set lower and the borough reserving the right to renew the case if the exemption was not did not end up being codified in statute when the DeLong Mountain facility exemption gets extended, if in fact it gets extended.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Okay. Could Mr. Brand Erickson, through the chair, could you give me an estimation as to how much possessory interest there exists that may be subject to taxation under the that lawsuit? You mentioned $1 million of equipment. I don't know if that was for illustrative purposes or if that's the actual amount. So could you please tell us how much is at stake here?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the part of the dispute that the borough had with the state assessor's office regarding the shipyard property dealt with tax years 2015 and 2016. The state assessor had asserted that the shipyard property was worth in total about $74 million. In addition to that, there was about $1.5 million that was privately owned property of Vigor That $1.5 million was treated as taxable and is still treated as taxable. The $74 million, the borough asserted that the valuation of the possessory interest was a lot less. The borough was asserting that the value of the possessory interest was only about $20 million. And in addition, the borough asserted that because the shipyard facility in Ketchikan was essentially in the same scenario as the DeLong Mountain facility, it was entitled to a mandatory exemption from property taxes. The case was resolved with the valuation of the possessory interest being set for 2015 at about $29 million, 2016 at about $27 million, and as the duration remaining on the lease becomes less, that value will likely continue to drop because of the period of time will be shorter.
Okay, follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
So, through the chair, Mr. Brand Erickson, so I understand that the situation is such that it will be necessary for the exemption to be clarified in statute in order for the exemption from property taxes to be maintained. In other words, we have to clarify in statute what whether the shipyard property will or will not be taxable. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, yes, there are two things going on here. One is extending the mandatory exemption that applies to the DeLong Mountain facility and that we assert applies to the Ketchikan Shipyard facility as well. And the other is clarifying the language so that we don't end up simply having another fight with the state over whether the DeLong Mountain facility and the Ketchikan Shipyard facility are both facilities owned by ADA, operated under an operating agreement, and entitled to that exemption.
And again, last one this morning.
Follow up.
So again, the clarification statute will be to clarify that the property tax exemption will remain, that so that property is exempt, mandatory exemption. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's correct.
Thank you. Okay, that's it for this line of questions. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I've got a few others with on you for the shipyard.
Representative Sadler, and then we have Co-Chair Parrish after that.
Thank you. Mr. Brian Erickson, when did you first bring this issue to the attention of ADA or any member of this committee?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough brought the issue of the treatment of the DeLong Mountain facility versus the Ketchikan Shipyard facility to the attention of the legislature in 2010, the last time the DeLong Mountain exemption was renewed. At that time, no action was taken to clarify the language. I'm not certain if that's the question you were asking.
That's helpful, but no, that's not the full answer. I guess I just want to say, when did you first understand that this might be impossible to amend this bill to accomplish your purpose?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the borough, in adopting Resolution 2692 and forwarding it to the legislature, was seeking to have an amendment such as this included in legislation sometime during the course of this session. We've had numerous discussions with our local representative about it. As far as this particular bill, this particular hearing, I only became aware of this hearing being scheduled over the weekend.
Okay, I'll note for the record, this Resolution 2692 was adopted and signed on February 6, 2017. And you're saying you only found out that this amendment to accomplish the goals of this resolution was this weekend. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the language of the amendment to accomplish the goals I've been aware of for a couple of months and have reviewed substantially similar language, and there's similar language in the resolution. But the hearing on House Bill 156 and the fact that it might be considered in this hearing today, I only became aware of this weekend.
Okay. Mr. Brand Erickson, did you ever understand that there was an intention to offer an amendment to this language, to this bill, to accomplish the Ketchikan Gateway Borough's desires? Did you ever discuss with anybody in this committee the opportunity, the possibility of having an amendment to that bill?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I did not personally have those discussions. The Borough does engage a lobbyist who works in Juneau, and I have had communications with him over the course of the last week on that subject, but I have not personally had conversations with members of the committee.
And through the chair?
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Representative Chairman. And who is that lobbyist, sir?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that would be Ray Matuszewski.
Is Mr. Matuszewski there with you?
He is not. I believe he had another appointment this morning.
Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up, Representative Sadler, but I'll remind you to speak to the content of the amendment.
Sir, is Mr. Matuszewski available to us?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I understand this meeting is designed to have public vetting and discussion about the amendment. I think understanding the amendment addresses the Ketchikan Borough's desires, understanding the genesis and provenance of the resolution and the amendment will be useful. I would like to have Mr. Matuszewski available to us for questioning.
Representative Ortiz, if perhaps you could come forward, put yourself on the record, speak to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dan Ortiz. I represent District 36, Southern Southeast Alaska, including the community of Ketchikan, Alaska. Through the chair, Representative Sadler, this amendment certainly has been, I was well aware of the desire for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough and the company Vigor to work on the tax-exempt to put into statute tax-exempt status for this particular facility. We see this clearly as a as an economic development, pro-economic development opportunity for the entire state. The Vigor facility employs 160 workers that are not just from the Southeast region, but they're from around the state. They represent or they hire people who are trained in facilities like the one in Seward, and you know, they often hire people at for their entry-level jobs after these folks get training in facilities like the one in Seward, and the facility itself does a lot to provide the repair needs and construction needs of the Alaska Marine Highway System. The logic of the exemption stems around the idea that ADA, state-owned, ADA is the owner of the property, just like they are the owner of the property up in the on the mining facility. And so, therefore, the logic is, you know, why would we be taxing a state-owned facility? And so, you know, this particular amendment is again simply one that says, hey, you know, this is an ADA facility, ADA-owned facility. This is a facility that does a lot to support the infrastructure, transportation infrastructure of the state of Alaska in relationship to the Alaska Marine Highway, and it's just a, you know, it's just a win-win facility. It's a win-win amendment for the state as well as for the property owned in Ketchikan and leased by the Vigor Shipyard. So with that said, I'll be glad to answer any more questions or try to answer any more questions that you might have.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Understanding what you said about the general nature of the project, my concern and questions regarding the timing. This resolution was dated February 6th of this year. The amendment, A2, was drafted on March 16th, 2 months ago, and today is May 15th. That's 2 months later. So my question, do you know of anyone who came to this committee before this weekend to consider offering an amendment to this legislation or any legislation to accomplish the Ketchikan Gateway Borough's desires.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I am not aware of any other attempts. In my limited experience here in the legislature, it's my understanding that it's not uncommon that while you have an overall goal of getting a particular task accomplished, that I was well aware of the goal at the beginning of the session, you have to look for an opportunity that presents itself, the best opportunity that presents itself to get the goal accomplished. And it just so happens that that goal seemed to be become apparent here at the end of this last week. But that didn't mean that we weren't looking for other opportunities or for other chances prior to this. It just seemed like this was the one that came forward.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler. Through the chair. Thank you, Representative Ortiz. My question originally had been to Mr. Ray Matuszewski, who is the lobbyist representing the borough, and he's apparently not available to answer the question about when this amendment may have been first brought forth. You're telling me that certainly this was an intent that you knew for a long time, so I'll ask you directly, sir. When did you know that this amendment was going to be coming forward to this particular legislation?
I was not, through the chair, I'm sorry, Representative Sadler, I also was not aware that this particular amendment would be brought forward by this committee until the end of the week.
That would be Friday?
Yes.
I'd like to put on the record that Representative Rauscher has joined us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Ortiz, as the representative for Ketchikan and the Ketchikan Gateway Borough is a critical economic driver for your district, you did not know about this amendment coming forth until Friday.
The specific, with this specific bill, that is correct, Representative Sadler.
Oh, okay. So were there other amendment efforts that you knew would be coming before this?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm not sure what you mean by that particular question.
Representative Sadler, I'm going to ask you to get back to the substance of the amendment. Our time is important, and let me explain this one more time on the record, why we're having this meeting today. My understanding was that House Bill 156 was being rolled into Senate Bill 100. We still had 156 before this committee. Mm-hmm. I feel as the committee chairman, the proper way to run these things is to vet them in front of the public. That is what we are doing, hence the committee substitute. This amendment came before us now. Mm-hmm. So to the substance.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, you said that the purpose of the meeting is to have this vetted in front of the public. We have had so far one member of the public testify, and that is the, I think Mr. Brand Erickson is an employee or a lobbyist, not quite sure. Mr. Brand Erickson, what's your position with the borough?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Attorney, and I've held that position for about 22 years.
Okay. So far, the only member of the public who's testified is the attorney for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. I'm just trying to find out, Mr. Chairman, why this is coming before us when the committee's had this bill in its hands for 2.5 months.
Representative Sadler, I just explained to you why this is coming before us. It is being rolled into Senate Bill 100. I believe it is important that the committee substitute be vetted in the public. That is what we are doing at this time.
Okay, so I will stand by and
if you wish to not vet it, we cannot have these meetings.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I would appreciate looking forward to members of the public getting that vetting in front of them instead of just the attorney for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
Why we are having this meeting right now.
Thank you.
Co-chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Got a question for Mr. Brent Erickson. There's a slight difference in the language of the amendment and the language of the amendment requested by your through your resolution. Are you familiar with the language of the amendment as proposed, and do you find it to be substantively equivalent to that which you requested?
Co-Chair Parrish, the amendment that has been proposed does differ slightly from the language that was in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough's Resolution 2692. Substantively, we view it as the same, in fact, the proposed language may be more clear than that was in the resolution 2692.
Follow up, Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's my understanding that at present the Ketchikan Gateway Borough finds that the operating interest of Bigger in the shipyard is considerable. I think you said $29 million. Is that right?
Co-Chair Parrish, the $29 million was the valuation for 2015. The 2017 valuation of that interest is more in the range of about $25 million. Yes.
It's
follow up, Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding that under the language as amended, the interest created by an operating agreement would be tax exempt or not taxable, except to the extent that it's associated with those specific improvements used for lodging purposes. Would that result in a change in the total interest taxable by the Ketchikan Gateway Borough?
Co-Chair Parrish, it would, but it would not result in a change in the revenues to the borough. The borough currently has adopted an ordinance allowing for an optional exemption for the value of that property. And what that means is, for example, for the purposes of the school contributions, the borough still makes those payments. With the mandatory exemption, we would not make those payments. And the value of that amount is approximately $70,000 a year.
Follow up, Co-Chair Parrish.
So it'd be my understanding that there'd be a shift of $70,000 from the city to the state. Is that correct?
Co-Chair Parrish, yes, from the borough to the state.
Because the exemption would be mandatory instead of optional as it is presently by ordinance, is that right?
Co-Chair Parrish, yes, that's correct.
One more follow-up.
Follow-up, Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What would the... how would that shift the bottom line for... Actually, that's might be more properly a question for Mr. Doug Ward with Vigor, but I'll ask you first. What would the effect on the bottom line for Vigor be?
Co-Chair Parrish, I can defer to Doug Ward for that. I can say that one of the things that the Ketchikan Gateway Borough has discussed. I mentioned previously that our assessor had treated the property as if it were mandatorily exempt, and the state assessor had treated it as mandatorily exempt up until 2011, and so this was not an issue at all. Once the state assessor began treating it as optionally exempt, and there was a cost penalty associated with it, our assembly discussed requiring some sort of payment in taxes. The operating margin, the profitability of the shipyard is such that if they were required to pay payment in lieu of taxes in the full amount of the local tax levies, it could impact their viability. And if I could defer to Doug Ward to respond further, I would appreciate that.
Certainly, fine by me.
Thank you. And to be clear, we have listed under public testimony as well Mr. Doug Ward from Vigor, and we also have for questions Michael Katze from ADA, Chris Shute from the Municipality of Anchorage, and John Springsteen also from Ada. Mr. Ward, if you could identify yourself, place yourself on the record, and speak to Co-Chair Parrish's question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Doug Ward, and I have been the Director of Shipyard Development since for the last 25 years for the Ketchikan Shipyard, previously employed by Alaska Ship and Dry Dock and currently employed by Vigor Alaska. Would you like me to go ahead and answer that question now, or would you like to restate the question?
Co-Chair Parrish, maybe you could restate the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I shall. And thank you, Mr. Ward. The question for you is, what would the impact of this amendment be on Vigor's bottom line?
Yes, thank you very much, through the Chair, Representative Parrish. Only in the last 2 years has the Ketchikan Shipyard approached marginal profitability. And the issue of profitability is important since under our operating agreement, we participate in both revenue sharing and profit sharing with ADA. Both of our payments to ADA for revenue and profit sharing go into an ADA-held dedicated repair and replacement fund in order to maintain the state asset. That's a unique and, I think, very positive element of our operating agreement that assures the long-term maintenance of a state asset that comes out of the operating revenues by ourselves, Vigor. So the any tax payments that would be related to our possessory interest in the operating agreement would diminish our profitability and impact not only our ability to maintain a competitive position when seeking new ship constructions and ship repair contracts on an open competitive basis, will be somewhat impeded, and the final impact of that could be a reduced volume of production work at the shipyard with reduced employment and increased competitive disadvantages for future ship repair and shipbuilding contracts. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Follow-up, Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have a notion of about how much money, either in percent or dollar amount, is going to ADA or the state more generally through revenue, profit sharing, and how much is going to the repair and maintenance fund?
Annually, and I believe these are on the public record, between $50 and $75 million. It was around, I think, $65 million last year combined profit and revenue. Combined revenue and profit sharing. And this year we're projecting roughly the same. And our financials will be. In fact, we're preparing a final report to ADA here soon.
Follow up, Co-Chair Parrish.
Would it be correct to say that that's in addition to any corporate income tax?
Mr. Chair, I have a correction.
Yep. Yes.
I believe I stated it was around $60 million. That should be $60,000. excuse my error.
All right. Well, you know, my eyes were saucer-like for a moment there, but $50,000 to $75,000 is also pretty all right.
Follow-up, Co-Chair Parrish.
The next question would be for ADA, but before that I'd like to defer to the representative from Ketchikan.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly appreciate the questions have been brought forward by this committee, particularly Representative Sandler. They're perfectly understandable and I think worth hearing and considering. However, the bottom line is this amendment, if you would adopt it, in the best interest of the state of Alaska and the Ada-owned facility? And if I'd ask each of you to step back and, when you're considering this amendment, consider it around that particular question, I think you'd find that clearly, it's in the best interests of the state of Alaska and the Ada-owned facility that this amendment be adopted. The profit margins that the Vigor Corporation works under are really quite narrow. They have been awarded the bid to construct the two new Alaska Marine Highway ferries, and it was a very competitive bid, and they are on schedule to perform to the parameters of that particular bid, and the Alaska Marine Highway will be the beneficiary of those two new marine highways. The profits that Vigor would make in relationship to those two projects are very minimal. And so what we're trying to do here is to create the best possible environment for Vigor to continue to operate that facility, continue to employ people from around the state, continue to work to facilitate the transportation infrastructure in relationship to the Alaska Marine Highway and other marine vessels as well, in the fishing industry and in other areas of our seagoing economy, seagoing industry. So, again, the question, I think, while the timing is, it is late in the session, there's no question about that, but still the bottom line is this amendment in the best interest of the state of Alaska? And from my perspective, and I think if you look at what this amendment is attempting to do, clearly it is in the best interest of the state of Alaska that we would adopt this amendment. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I have Representative Sadler, then Representative Rauscher. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Mr. Doug Ward, if you're still available and can hear us, sir.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Mr. Ward, I just want to make sure I understand the answers properly to Representative Parrish's question. So the question was, if Vigor did have to pay property tax to the Ketchikan Peninsula Borough, I understand it would cost you an additional $50,000 to $75,000 per year. Is that correct?
I believe the value of the borough's required local contribution is around $70,000 a year, correct?
Okay, about $70,000, okay. And Mr. Ward, through the chair, you had said that Ketchikan Shipyard has only approached profitability in the last 2 years. Just given my limited understanding of business plans, is that part of obviously any new business sinks capital costs and startup costs. Are you kind of on the anticipated planned trajectory towards profitability, and or are you just operating kind of at a standard level, and even at that standard level of continuing operations are only now occasionally achieving profitability? Which of those two applies here?
The former, we're actively seeking new contracts to both in the new ship fabrication discipline as well as ship repair. And our customers on ship repair include the U.S. Coast Guard, NOAA, federal agencies, state agencies, fish and game, public safety. We have a large number of publicly owned clients, including the Inner Island Ferry Authority, and we're looking to expand our activities in the fish harvesting market, as well as general heavy manufacturing for manufactured and fabricated metal products being imported to Alaska.
Very good.
So we're definitely looking forward to expanding the business, expanding our employment, as well as increasing the marine industrial support sector of the state of Alaska.
Mr. Ward, I'm glad to hear that.
Following up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Following up through the chair, Mr. Ward, I do support that and wish you the best of all possible luck. I think it's great that we're encouraging the creation of manufacturing and seafaring jobs in the coastal communities of Southeast Alaska. So, again, I want to make sure, when you said the former, you're saying that you're brushing up and down with profitability as part of your long-term business plan, that you're building your capacity to do work, building your markets, building your capacities. So if this property tax exemption were to be made mandatory, you might lose $70,000 a year, but you are on a trajectory upward, so this would not be this would not kill your business this year. You could probably grow enough to accommodate that loss. Is that correct? Not easy necessarily, not welcome certainly, but possible.
Through the chair, I would rather not conjecture on what the future can bring, but in answer to that question, I would say that the 30-year operating agreement, which we entered into with ADA, recognized the competitive difficulties of establishing a viable shipyard enterprise in a remote and isolated location like Ketchikan. When we started this project, our first year under Alaska Ship and Dry Dock was in 1994. Our development plan at that time was to add a small lift to service the local seine fleet. With collapse of the timber industries in the mid-1990s, both the Ketchikan Borough and the state of Alaska came to Alaska Ship and Dry Dock and asked if we could create a development plan that would assure long-time viability of the Ketchikan shipyard. That plan is referred to as the 1999 shipyard development plan, and as far as profitability, the operating agreement recognized that profitability in the early years was going to be difficult, and that in order to establish not only a skilled and competitive Alaskan workforce, but to develop all of the required infrastructure for long-term viability was going to be a long-term proposition, and it was for that reason that the ADA operating agreement is for a 30-year term beginning in 2005. I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Through the chair, it does, Mr. Ward. Thank you. So, again, I can have some sympathy with the challenges of starting up a complicated industrial enterprise in Southeast Alaska, and wish you the best of luck. So I just wanted to try and ascertain whether this change in tax structure is going to have was it an industry killer or not? It sounds like your business plan accommodates it. You certainly don't wish to have any additional costs and can achieve your mission better if not, but it would not necessarily be a killer. And a new question through the chair, Mr. Ward. Help me understand how this tax exemption would translate or affect payments from the borough to the state. I don't know. You're a finance guy. You're a development guy. You might understand this. Others online might. But if you understand how this would affect the state's income, or can you please explain that to me?
Yes, certainly. Within the operating agreement, I forget the section number now, but it refers to establishing a repair and replacement fund. It is currently around minimum level for that fund is around $1.6 million, and that will be in place managed by ADA for long-term maintenance of the state asset. Once the R&R fund reaches the minimum required balance of roughly $1.6 million, then ADA has the option of participating in revenue sharing with the municipalities, city and borough, and Ketchikan Public Utilities in revenue sharing with those three entities in part for repayment for financial incentives that they have provided locally through tax exemption and competitive power rates. The other option ADA has is to direct those excess funds above the minimum required balance in the R&R. They can participate in revenue sharing to the state general fund. So whatever payments that we end up, or should we have to make payments on our possessory interest, that would reduce revenue streams to the ADA R&R fund and potentially reduce funds that can be distributed to either the state general fund or to the municipalities of Ketchikan. Thank you.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
So thank you for the detail. I appreciate your references to the operating agreement. So once under the ADA operating agreement, you establish a $1.6 million replacement and repair fund. Excess of that can be used to qualify for matching funds from the state or from revenue sharing. Please explain that a little bit further, if you would, please.
I would defer to the ADA staff that are on board on exactly how ADA what the mechanics of their distribution, but essentially, if ADA takes the option to share revenues with the state general fund, that's ADA already does that. Those would go into the payments that they make annually to the general fund. And under the operating agreement, ADA has the option of revenue sharing with the municipalities of Ketchikan.
Okay, so just to clarify, and last one.
Follow-up, Representative
Chair, Mr. Ward. So it sounds like, again, any money you might take in excess of that 1.6, you could either share with utilities and, you know, spill over to local utilities, or could use it to qualify for revenue sharing from the state of Alaska. That's what I believe you told us.
Through the chair. Yes, that's correct, Representative.
Okay, so it sounds like there is a nexus with state finances, so I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Representative Rauscher.
Thank you to the chair, Representative Ortiz. You had mentioned that the bids were very tight anymore, that you know, they're very competitive with each other, and I noticed that in a few projects in my district also. But I'm wondering, is this a trend, or is this, do you see this the way it's going to be from now on, where everybody's going to be actually bidding so low that it's very low profit margin, very low, I mean, is everything going to be tight? I mean, there used to be a fairly lucrative idea to be in construction. Now, with the competitive bids that I've been seeing, I'm not even sure. Is this a trend, do you see? Or is this going to be the way we are from now on?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher. Perhaps the level of detail of your question might be better answered by someone like Mr. Ward, who is more familiar with the actual bidding process in the seafaring industry. I just know that in general, as we're moving forward in our economy, with the tightness of capital budgets and with the overall lack of revenue that the state has, I don't see a very robust capital budget moving forward from the state of Alaska. So therefore, I see it as an ever-increasing, at least for the near to midterm, ever-increasing difficult environment for private industry to find projects that they can actually even bid on, whether it's road repair or whether it's seagoing vessels or whatever. It seems like, at least for the near to midterm, it's going to be a pretty tough environment. But specifically to the sea industry, perhaps that question, if you choose to ask it, might better go directed towards Mr. Ward.
Can we do that through the chair?
Absolutely, Representative Rauscher. Mr. Ward, if perhaps you could answer that question.
And through the chair again, the reason was because I believe that's one of the stipulations for supporting this. The only reason I wanted to know that. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I had a little difficulty hearing the question from Representative Rauscher. If you could restate that, please.
I can. I appreciate it. And through the chair. I was just wondering whether there's an overall trend and whether it's here to stay on the statement that that competitive bids are getting so competitive there's a very low profit margin anymore, which is one of the benefits toward this amendment. Do you see that as here to stay as a cyclical economic related or pretty much where we're at from now on?
Thank you very much. Through the chair, I understand the question now. So we have two activities that we participate in at the Ketchikan Shipyard that Bigger participates in, new ship construction and marine vessel repair, maintenance, and conversions. On the new ship construction market is very cyclical. I would say in general, the U.S. shipbuilding industry in the major regions, their demand for new ship construction is heavily impacted by federal policy with respect to oil and gas exploration, drilling, transportation, other national and international market forces that drives the demand for shipbuilding is volatile, and often, well, we as the U.S. domestic shipbuilding industry, the commercial side, are pretty much price takers with respect to competitive bids. With this. On the ship repair, maintenance, and conversion side of the house, these vessels represent near-to-market opportunities in which we can be, to some extent, price makers, have a little more control over, because of our geographic proximity to the vessels that work in Alaska, we're able to enjoy some competitive advantage through that geographic proximity. However, with the respect to public vessels and the marine highway system in particular, we have to be competitive in our maintenance work for any public-owned assets, or they go elsewhere for maintenance. I would say the trend is going to be for continued cyclical demand for really both repair and ship fabrication. Of course, repair is impacted by the price of fish, by freight costs, by all kinds of economic factors. So maybe just to put this in perspective, through our public-private partnership, which has been noted nationally as an extremely successful model of public-private partnering, Alaska now has a world-class facility that is probably 90% complete of its development plan. We have a young and a very talented Alaska resident workforce that is every day learning new innovations and how to do this work faster, cheaper, and better. So we are approaching a world-class Alaska resident workforce. With those two assets in hand, We would look forward to increasing our competitive advantages, decreasing our competitive disadvantages, and growing the marine industrial support sector in the state of Alaska. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mr. Ward. And I have just another question. This
follow-up, Representative Rauscher.
This relates to the amendment itself. Just to understand, my understanding, it would be page 2, section C, line 12 and on. A municipality and real property located outside the municipality acquired after December 31st, 1990 is taxable by another municipality. However, a borough may not tax an interest real property located in the borough and owned by a city in the borough. So what is that speaking to?
Mr. Logan.
Thank you for the record again, Jesse Logan, staff to Representative Westlake. Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, that is existing language is not being changed as currently in statute. The amendment does not speak to that, only what's in bold.
That's fine, but can someone speak to what that means?
Representative Westlake.
Pardon me, I didn't hear the question.
I believe the question was, what does that language mean?
That's the original. We had nothing to do with it. It was already embedded, and the original author on the sponsor statement over here, we had talked about some issues, and it had started off. This had started off with as a whole different thing here. We had been talking about the sunset clause on what she had been trying to do.
He's talking about
this part here.
Well, let's. I'll try to find an answer before it hits the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Okay, we're still in discussion on the amendment that's been proffered for the committee substitute. We still have public testimony open. Representative Sadler, it does look like you have another question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry. My apologies, Representative Sadler. I did have Co-Chair Parrish in the queue, and then you may ask your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I know that we've got two gentlemen from ADA and one from the municipality of Anchorage on the line. I was hoping to ask them to weigh in on the amendment before we go too much farther.
We do have three gentlemen, it looks like, Mr. Katze from ADA, Mr. Shute from Municipality of Anchorage, and Mr. Springsteen from ADA. Let's take them in that order. Mr. Katze, if you could respond to Co-Chair Parrish's question.
Yeah, for the record, my name is Michael Katze. I'm the Business Development Communications Director here at ADA. And I would defer those comments to our executive director, John Springsteen, and I'll be happy to provide any additional comments after John.
Okay. Mr. Shute, could you weigh in if you wish, and then we'll hear from Mr. Springsteen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Chris Schutte, Director of Office of Economic and Community Development for the Municipality of Anchorage. And much like my partner, Mr. Katze, I'm going to defer to Mr. Springsteen on this particular amendment.
And my apologies, Mr. Schutte, for mispronouncing your name. Mr. Springsteen, it looks like everyone has deferred to you. If you could please weigh in.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. My name is John Springsteen, Executive Director of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. The amendment will not have a material effect on ADA. Just revisiting the history, the Ketchikan Shipyard was, in my view, an emergency economic redevelopment project to combat the downturn in Ketchikan's timber industry as a result of impacts of federal regulation. Just in general, ADA's mission is to grow and diversify the economy by financing development to facilitate the creation of jobs and revenue for Alaskans. So with regards to the Ketchikan Shipyard, ADA successfully implemented this mission. Now, this project's provided significant economic benefit to the community, and both directly and indirectly. And the communities were facing the downturn that I mentioned, and this is an important project for the economic and social benefits for that community. at a time that it really needed the jobs that are associated with the redevelopment.
Follow-up, Co-Chair Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not familiar with the Daylong Mountain Transportation Facility. How analogous is it with the Vigor Shipyard?
Through the chair to Co-Chair Parrish. Now, the Long Mountain Transportation System is the road and port that services the Red Dog Mine, and that was for, I guess the benefit of it is to create new industry and to create new opportunity where none had existed prior, and that's been a benefit to the Northwest Arctic Borough. It's been a benefit to NANA. It's been a benefit to the state, and it's been a benefit to ADA. And it's been a benefit to all Alaskans in terms of jobs and revenue from the project that has circulated through ADA and been contributed back in part to the state's general fund.
Representative Ortiz, do you have something to add to this or
not to that particular question?
Okay. Then I'll take you after Representative Sadler, if that's okay. Co-Chair Parrish, are you finished with your line of questioning?
Oh, I suppose I can be, given the time constraints.
We don't have to be on floor till 11. I made a mistake when I said 10 there, so.
Oh, well,
I intend to keep us here till then if we have to be.
I'll pull up a little bit more than it. Would anything in the amendment to your understanding impair the ability of a municipality to require payment in lieu of taxes?
Oh, and this is John Springsteen with ADA. I defer that question to the attorney for Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
Mr. Brant Erickson, are you still with us?
Yes. Co-Chair Parrish, the amendment would have the DeLong Mountain facility and the Ketchikan Shipyard facility be treated as fully exempt, similar to the Healy Clean Coal project and some other ADA projects. In that situation, a municipality could not require a payment in lieu of taxes, but the entity operating the facility could voluntarily enter into an agreement for a payment in lieu of taxes.
Follow up, Co-Chair Parrish.
What levers would the municipality have available?
Co-Chair Parrish, the leverage that a municipality might have would vary by the circumstance. In Ketchikan, for example, the benefits that are offered the shipyard currently are exemptions from voluntary exemptions from the city property tax, the pro property tax, and a reduced utilities rate, and so there are financial benefits that the shipyard would still enjoy even if the property was mandatorily exempt. In the case of the DeLong Mountain facility, there may be any number of measures that the Northwest Arctic Borough might consider which could impact the operations of the mine there. They may not be directly related to imposition of taxes, but they may be regulatory measures which would have other impacts on the operating of the mine that could motivate an operator to agree to a payment in lieu of taxes.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Brent Erickson.
Mr. Logan, it looks like you may want to address this as well.
Thank you, through the chair. I think Brent Erickson actually did a very good job of illustrating the idiosyncratic complexities within each taxing regime. But I would like to point out that, as to your question, Representative Parrish, the DeLong Mountain facility under Red Dog has been operating through the borough under appeal for a number of years while this exemption has existed.
Representative Westlake, is it on this direct question?
Yes, and it does. Because what it does is you got to remember, with the DeLong Mountain Project, we had started it before there was a borough involved as well, and it's worked out well. You've got places like what we have in front of us on that amendment where you're surrounded by federal lands as well. And a lot of times when you're looking at things like this, when you weigh them and you balance them, you're talking between 50 and 75K versus meeting payroll for 160 people that are going to be spending the money in there. So there's always a balance that you're trying to work out. So thank you.
Co-Chair Parrish, is your line of questioning finished?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm satisfied.
We've got Representative Sadler, then Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Mr. Springsteen, there's reference in this bill to shipyards owned by ADA or some similar language. My question, are there any other shipyards that ADA has any participation in other than the Ketchikan shipyard?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, no.
No. So do you have any concerns that this legislation would be considered special interest legislation if it only applies to one facility?
Through the chair to the representative, I believe that this mandatory exemption would just bring the Ketchikan shipyard into parity with the DeLong Mountain Transportation System.
I'm sorry, sir. I did not really comprehend your answer. Could you repeat it?
So, again, I would stress that with regards to the Ketchikan Shipyard, its origin as an emergency economic redevelopment project when there was a severe downturn in Ketchikan's timber industry. And, goals of this effort are, to gradually increase, profitability and revenue. But the true underlying goal is the provision of jobs for the residents in Ketchikan.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Springsteen, the intention notwithstanding, my question stands, are you sure that this would not violate the special interest prohibitions? We don't pass laws for individuals, for individual companies, or individual programs, projects. I just want to hear that assurance from you.
And then, through the chair to Representative Sadler, again, I would defer this to the Ketchikan War Attorney.
I'll hold that question in advance for a quick sec, though, until we get him up again. So, Mr. Springsteen, you're executive director of ADA. Would this amendment have any impact on the finances of the DeLong Mountain Transportation System, the Red Dog Mine, the Northwest Arctic Borough, or the State of Alaska's finances?
Through the chair to the representative, I believe the only impacts were related to the school funding formula, but that's out of the purview of ADA.
Could you, through the chair, could you expand what you mean by they would relate to the school funding formula?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, going back to the discussion regarding the mandatory versus the optional exemption for these property taxes that would result in a flow of I believe the number of reference was in the order of $60,000 that the state would bear versus what the Ketchikan Gateway Borough would bear, and that's what I was referring to. And I'd appreciate any correction because it's a little out of our purview from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Attorney.
Mr. Springsteen, through the chairman.
Representative Sadler.
Yeah, my questions were how this amendment might affect the finances of the Red Dog Road, the Northwest Arctic Borough, apparently school district of the state, and you said it might have some effect on school funding formula. You were referring to the Northwest Arctic Borough, correct?
Yes, would be both Northwest Arctic Borough and to the Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
So that's a yes. Mm-hmm. So what would the effect be, through the chair, on the school funding formula?
Representative Sadler, again, that's out of my purview, and I defer the question.
Representative Westlake looks like he has an answer for this. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. And this goes to Representative Sadler. Very, very good questions. There's just been a 10-year agreement over there through the PILT, the payment in lieu of taxes. The school and the borough funding formula has already been written in and finalized, so it should be well.
Should be well.
They finalized it. It's unique in that their funding formula now, they've just entered a 10-year agreement on the PILT, and they do the payments to the borough as well as the borough school district. So those have been formalized.
follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question still stands if there's any impact. Mr. Springsteen said something about there might be effect in the school funding formula. I'm not looking for a hard, specific dollar, but I'm just trying to see how the school funding formula would fit into this, how it might be affected.
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, again, this is my understanding. I would defer the question, but my understanding is that, you know, with regard to the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, it's the matter of, $60,000, $70,000 being funded by the state versus being funded by the borough.
Mr. Springsteen, I must confess I'm having a little bit of difficulty understanding you. So I think I hear you saying there is no impact on the Northwest Charter Rural School District. Is that correct?
My understanding, sir, Mr. Chair of the Representative, is that it would be the status quo for the Northwest Charter Borough.
It would be very status quo, so there would be no impact. I'm just asking for repetition because I really... Can people understand what he's saying?
I believe that he said, yes, it will be the status quo for the Northwest Arctic Borough.
Okay, and so then my next question, I guess, would go to Mr. Brand Erickson. Would this affect the school district funding in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the impact of the 2.65 mils mandatory contribution doesn't change the amount of money that the school district gets. It just changes who's paying it. If the increment that represents 2.65 mils on the value of the possessory interest in either the shipyard or the DeLong Mountain facility is paid by the state, then the state is paying it. If it's paid by the community, then the community is paying it. With a mandatory exemption, then that amount that relates to the 2.65 mils is going to come out of the state education contributions. If there is no exemption or it is an optional exemption, the equivalent of 2.65 mils on the value of the possessory interest in either facility would be paid by the local government. And with respect to the Ketchikan shipyard, that 2.65 mils equates to about $60,000 to $70,000 at this point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Follow-up, Representative Sadler.
I believe what, based on the information I've been able to tease out, is that this amendment, if it made the property tax exemption in the Northwest Arctic Borough for the Long Mountain Transportation System and in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, it would affect school foundation funding, and as such, it would affect the finances of the state, and as such, it should require a fiscal note to make sure that the impact on state finances would be properly vetted. So I would just make that observation and make that request that it does have a fiscal note.
Representative Ortiz. Do you still?
It was a request. I didn't hear an answer.
Who do you wish to answer that?
I suppose the chair could request it.
We can request a fiscal note. I'll remind you what the timing of this is. We are having this hearing today. We are going to hear a bill on the floor today that has the committee substitute wrapped in it, which is why we're having this hearing. This amendment, even if passed in this committee, will be not in the committee substitute. That is going to be in Senate Bill 100, so it will need to be proffered on the floor. We will certainly request a fiscal note if you wish, and see if one can be put together in time. But really, this amendment will be reheard on the floor at 11 o'clock, regardless. So,
Chairman, I do so request.
Okay. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This would, I guess, my attempt at my final comments on this particular amendment, which is, in the end, what's before you, consideration of this amendment. And I'd ask the members of this committee to consider the amendment as it is and whether or not it's in the best interests of all parties involved that the amendment be adopted? That's the question. And when we think about some of the other incentives, or for lack of a better word, I guess incentives, that this state puts forward towards industry, particularly in the oil and gas industry, the scale of this arrangement is less than minute in terms of what it might mean to the state is $70,000 of added obligation as an incentive to this particular shipyard in support of 160 jobs from employees from around the state, in support of economic diversification and economic development. And when we put it in terms of what the state is already doing in relationship to economic incentives for industries, it's really small scale. And so consequently, I think particularly in this time that the state is in, when we're looking for opportunities for doing what the state can do to facilitate economic opportunity and economic diversification and economic development, I think this particular amendment makes darn good sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Tallarico, look like you actually might want to.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Join the fray.
I just want to chip in. I guess the best term that I can always use, and I appreciate the line of questioning and a lot of involvement, because I get very squishy whenever amendments and anything that involves Title 29 comes up, and we haven't had statewide municipal. I like to see statewide municipal participation. Title 29 is all about municipalities, and so I just so that everybody knows, I always, every time I see anything with Title 29, I get a little nervous. Just wanted that on the record, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Representative Wesley.
Thank you, Chair. And I, too, want to express it. The representative beside me, Tallarico, and I have been involved in borough assembly, so I know where you're coming from. And this is I realize coming in and offering this amendment is pretty long. I can see Representative Sadler's questions. They're all pertinent or spot on, you know, and you do. You weigh it on 160 payrolls to be made, and you've got the base student allocation coming up in October. If you don't have jobs there, and they've got kids, that, you know, there's a domino effect to this whole thing, so you really have to weigh it on what we're talking about, relatively tiny compared to all the budgets we've been. But you know my stance is it always goes back to the local level. I always defer to that, and in this case, I heard it strongly. So thank you for that.
All right. Seeing and hearing no, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill, amendment is before us 2 days before the scheduled adjournment of this legislature. Even though the bill has been in the committee's hands for more than 2 months, the bill has already had three hearings. There's been ample opportunity for amendments before this time. Notice of the CS and of the amendment came to me, I think, at 7:23 a.m. this morning in an email from your staffer, Ms. Schlosser. Even the representative from Ketchikan didn't know about it until Friday, and at least he knows about it 3 days before at least this member of the committee knew about it. The lobbyist to whom my questions were directed is not available, and two bills that already accomplished the clear primary intent of this legislation are on the House floor already. Mr. Chairman, I still have no understanding as to why this is coming before us at this time in this form. And on that basis, I have to oppose the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. I will take...
there's an objection.
There's still an objection. Let me just one more time state why we're having this meeting. In no way, shape, or form are we having this meeting for this amendment. This amendment came to our attention yesterday after the meeting was called on Saturday. The meeting was called on Saturday because I believe the proper way to conduct government is to have a public vetting of things. And in this case, House Bill 156 was amended, which is the committee substitute we see before us, and was placed into Senate Bill 100, which we will hear on the floor today. We had not publicly vetted this House Bill 156 as amended. And I believe, as having it before our committee, the proper thing to do was to have it in this committee. We hear time and time again on the floor that committees work should be done in committees, and I believe that, and that's why it's happening. So the timing, if there are any questions, is because I want us to do this the right way, and that's why we're doing it. So thank you. Are there any further discussion about this topic? Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a roll call vote?
The conceptual amendment 1 to House Bill 156, version U. Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Representative Talarico.
No.
Representative Rauscher.
No.
Representative Stadler.
No.
Representative Westlake.
Yes.
Representative Parrish.
Yes.
Co-chair Parrish, I'm sorry. Co-chair Fanslin.
Yes.
I have 4 yeas, 3 nays.
And with 4 yeas and 3 nays, the amendment to committee substitute to House Bill 156 passes. As a reminder, this amendment will need to be offered on the floor today during session. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 156 as amended? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would reiterate my previous comments about the amendment. My same objections to the late process on this bill apply. The stated purpose of this meeting was to have the public weigh in. I've heard no disinterested members of the public. I have heard people who are attorneys with ADA, lobbyists for the Ketchikan Borough. I've heard the attorney for the borough, but I have not heard any members of the public who are not specifically and directly impacted and interested in this bill for this meeting.
Further comments? I will iterate my comments one more time. Thank you, Representative Sadler. We'll now take a roll call vote on, we need a motion.
I move to report House Bill 156, version 30-LS0602/U, as amended from committee, with individual recommendations. And does that happen? An attached fiscal note.
Are there any objections?
Mr. Chairman, question?
Yes.
I'm afraid I do not have the bill packet with me. Could you please indicate which fiscal note is attached?
I don't believe there is one, but you requested one. So when we get it, it will be attached.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we are going to pass House Bill 156, version 30-LS0602/U, as amended from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill documents, and then we'll come back online. We're back. We need to restate that motion to state the forthcoming fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to amend my previous motion to say that fiscal notes are forthcoming rather than attached.
There's one attached and one forthcoming.
One attached and one forthcoming. Thank
there
you.
There it goes. Now I got it.
All right. And are there no objections? Okay, good. All right. So that amended motion passes. Are there any other motions?
I move that both co-chairs of the House Community and Regional Affairs be delegated the duties and responsibilities in AS 24.08.060A during regular and special sessions of the 30th Alaska State Legislature. This delegation remains in effect until withdrawn by the committee.
Object.
There's an objection. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Objection. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I strongly object to this motion. This is similar to an action that Representative Chris Tuck, as chairman of the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, upon motion of Representative Ledoux, obtained early in this session. I believe it illegitimately allows the chairman, or either chairman, to introduce as a committee bill any legislation that they would like to see introduced as a committee bill, regardless of whether the members of this body agree to it or not. It does so, in my opinion, in violation of several citations of Mason's Manual, the rules, the numbers of which I don't have handy, but which say that a committee cannot make an effective or binding vote unless it has a measure before it. It cannot vote appropriately if it does not know the impact of an amendment. The import of this amendment is to allow the chairman to introduce a bill and have it introduced as a committee bill without each member of the committee, A, being able to make a decision in that specific bill, and B, knowing the impact, and actually C, having the option to vote on that bill. So in my opinion, this amendment violates three of Mason's rules. I believe it's an illegitimate motion, and I strongly oppose it.
Any further discussion?
And I would raise points of order on that, as a matter of fact. I raise a point of order on that amendment, proposed motion.
Thank you. And I will rule on that point of order and say that this is a proper motion to be heard by this committee and voted upon.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chair, I appeal the decision of the chair.
All right. We will have a roll call vote on whether the point of order is properly made.
Sustain the ruling of the chair.
To sustain the ruling of the chair, yes.
No.
Representative Westlake.
Yes.
Representative Dunn.
Yes.
Representative Talamico.
No.
Representative Rauscher.
No.
Co-chair Parrish.
Yes.
Co-chair Fanson.
Yes.
Four yeas, three nays, Mr. Chairman.
And with a hearing of four yeas and three nays, the ruling of the chair has been sustained. Any further discussion regarding the motion that is on this committee, before this committee? Representative Sadler, I believe you still have the floor.
Thank you. I would request only to have a written copy of that motion, please.
Absolutely. We can provide you with that. Thank you. Co-Chair Parrish, your discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The motion before us to explicitly grant us the authority under the statute provided is perfectly proper. It is the way which has been set out in the rules for us to do this. It is what has been done for the duration of this session, and it is a step above and beyond what has been done by previous chairs in the Alaska State Legislature. In custom, the chair of a committee has had the liberty to introduce committee bills without any formal vestiture of authority, as we are doing now. This custom is, in my personal opinion, a stepped short of appropriate. However, if previous members of previous legislatures who have chaired committees would like to speak to the question of whether they have previously on their own initiative and without the motion before us invest to introduce bills as committee bills, I would be happy to hear it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Parrish. Representative Parrish, Mr. Chairman. You know how I feel about this, and you know why I feel about this the way I do. I will not belabor it. You got the votes to win. But again, if the member who just spoke were to read the statute closely, it allows a committee chairman to introduce bills. That is predicated upon the knowledge, assent, and action of the members of the committee. But the statute is modified by the rules. This motion, again, I believe, violates, if not the law, obviously the spirit of this. And I would caution the members that what does go around does come around.
Representative Westling.
Call for the question.
Call for question. Okay. Call for question has been made. May I have a roll call vote on the motion? Brief at ease. Back on the record, I will repeat the motion. The motion is to have either co-chair of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee be delegated the duties and responsibilities in Alaska Statute 2408-060A during regular and special sessions of the 30th Alaska State Legislature. And this delegation will remain in effect until withdrawn by the committee.
No.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Cummings.
Yes.
Representative Westphal.
Yes.
Representative Calarico.
No.
Co-chair Parrish.
Yes.
Co-chair Fanisco.
Yes.
4 yeas, 3 nays,
all right, and with a 4 yeas and 3 nays, the motion passes. At this time, we are going to adjourn. Before we adjourn, I'd just like to state that we do not have any further meetings scheduled, but if there are reasons that we need to have meetings, such as the reason we had this meeting, we will let you know as soon as possible and work with all committee members to make sure that you have as far out notice as possible. And with that, I thank everyone for their due diligence today, and I thank everyone for their good discussion. I believe it's very important that we vet these things in committees, which is exactly why we had this meeting today, so that these things are not being done on the floor and behind closed doors. So I'm very happy that we had this meeting, and I appreciate everyone coming early and showing up for this on the 117th day. So this meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee is adjourned at 10:12 a.m. Thank you.